What's up, bitches, hoes, and CEOs? You're listening to the CEO-ish podcast hosted by me, Taylor Graham.
And me, Chloe Willemsen. We've got a lot to cover in this week's episode, so let's get straight into it. You guys, we have such an amazing episode for you today. We just got off our call with Tara West. She is the coolest person. I'm so excited for you guys to hear this one and just get some fashion tips. I feel like, especially in our generation with fast fashion, like we just have a hard time figuring out what our style is. And she just has so many amazing tips for you guys. I'm so excited for you guys to hear this. But first, we have a couple updates for you.
I actually don't wind myself up and like a wind up toy and pop the fuck off for this intro real quick.
Okay. Do you want to go first with your updates?
Actually, I'm going to let you give your updates first because I feel like you have less to report than me.
Yeah.
And I am just going to go from one chaotic update to another.
Right.
So
I'm just going to make this, you know, short, sweet, and to the point. I don't have many updates for you guys. I spent the last weekend, I was at my friend Aaliyah's house in Grand Rapids. I know I've talked to you guys before. She's getting ready to move. So I was just there to hang out with her son and distract him while she packed up and then help her pack up a little bit as well.
Don't worry, she will also be there this weekend because Chloe's
never
fucking home anymore.
Yes. I feel like with all of the amount of times that I've moved, like what, 4 times in the past 4 years, like I am a professional packer at this point. I should probably start a business. But yeah.
No. Let's not forget our almost greatest packing fail was when we firmly believed that we could fit all of our shit for Nashville into a very small U-Haul truck. And then you went to pick it up and they were like, we only have this big one. You have to take this. And you were like, I don't need this. And then we filled the entire thing up.
That thing was filled to the brim, including the passenger seat. Like, it turns out I like to collect things. I'm a bit of a maximalist.
And
I'm not
going to
say I'm a hoarder.
No. Because you definitely do get rid of shit. Except for the 6th grade jeans. That was a fiasco.
Okay, but here's my thing. Skinny jeans are going to come back.
We'll talk about
They're
it in this
going
episode.
To come back, okay?
We're talking about it in this episode.
Yeah, we are. And as a tall girly, once I find a pair of jeans that fits me, I don't care if I'm not wearing them for 3 years. I'm going to hold on to them because that shit will be coming back. But yeah, other than packing up and stuff, I'm going to be going down to Aaliyah's new house this weekend because they just got possession of it. And I'm going to be starting a new mural for her son's room. I don't have high hopes of finishing it because it's on 2 walls. I've really taken this by the reins and talked her into. She was like, oh, can you do a dinosaur design on his 1 wall? And I was like, no, but I will do a Jurassic design on 2 walls. And then I'll paint him a canvas with a dinosaur on it. So I'm really just like adding more and more things to my plate. And then she was talking about wanting pillow cushions. And I was like, well, I'm learning how to sew. I'll make you some pillow covers. So, you know, when my friend says make yourself at home in my home, I really do.
The sewing couch cushions, when I know how sewing has gone for you so far, is insane.
So far, not good, but I'm like, how hard can it be to sew, you know, a pillow cover? I don't think it should be too hard. I told her, I was like, don't get your hopes too high. Like, if I mess it up, you know, you can always buy some, but I can cut a square. I can sew a square, I think. I don't know. My hopes are not high, but that is all the stuff.
Where was
that
this idea when my Urban Outfitters couch cushion covers never came for us last year, Chloe? Where was this idea?
Well, I wasn't hyperfixating on sewing
also,
at that point.
Urban Outfitters, where is my refund?
Yeah, what? Urban Outfitters, you owe Taylor a check.
You owe me like a $90 refund that I probably
Do they
not
should refund you?
I don't know. I actually don't know.
Honestly, those floor cushions were really adorable too. I'm disappointed they never came. But hey, we moved out of Nashville anyway, so
I would have ended
really
up. I would have ended up selling those. Like, there's no way that was fitting into my car. It's fine.
No. But yeah, that's actually it for my updates, as I've just been piling on more and more projects onto my plate, and I'm not upset about it, and I won't apologize.
We love that for you. We love it.
What's going on with you?
All right. So I've been waiting to tell you this story for like a week now, because I knew it would be such funny content for the podcast. But when I tell you, I immediately wanted to call you over my level of dumbassery in this situation. So before I really get into this story, there are a few key things that new listeners are going to need to know about me. One, I am a recovering Catholic. Two, because I'm a recovering Catholic, I have very heavily leaned into spirituality, astrology, all of that makes sense to me. I don't give a fuck if you don't agree with it. I'm not here to argue about it. But those key pieces of information are very, very important here. So I've officially reached peak level DeLulu and did the dumbest yet most seemingly on brand shit for myself that I've ever pulled. So I went to go to Ulta to pick up some self-tanner for a wedding that I was in this weekend. And while I was in the parking lot, I pulled right up to next to this like witchy looking old lady. And it was just the one available parking spot. Homegirl rolls down her window from the car and is like, I sense your energy. I have a reading for you. And I immediately was like, fuck yes. Like, where other people would see it would be like run far and fast, like this is the equivalent of a free candy van. I was like, sign me the fuck
Yeah,
up,
no, that
okay?
sounds great, but like with those things, I don't want to know how I'm gonna die.
No, no,
And
no,
I
no,
know
no.
some of them are like, I'm not gonna not tell you if I know.
It wasn't anything about death. This was about love, which is how she hooked me in. Like,
Oh.
point line, hook and sinker, okay? So I immediately cash app this woman $35 on the spot. I am standing in an Ulta parking lot. It is fucking freezing, okay? I am shivering my ass off, and this woman is talking to me for like 30 minutes. Oh my God, okay? So for the most part, she tells me stuff that's actually pretty accurate. So for the, like, I went back and forth. I probably got swindled on. I most definitely got swindled by the end of this. It's fine. Oh my God. So she
Just
tells me.
hangs out outside of Ulta and is like, I can feel your energy. Let me tell you, you're going to fall in love. It's like those tarot card readers on the TikTok For You page, and every single time they're like, he's so in love with you, but he's scared to reach out every
She
single time.
definitely had the exact same energy as a TikTok tarot card reader who picked up her first deck maybe a week ago and started doing readings. Okay, anywho. So first, right off the bat, and how she kind of hook, line, and sinkered me in with the whole love aspect is she goes, you've had two significant relationships in your life that have made a really big impact on you, which is actually true in terms of the like getting to the official boyfriend title relationship status. I have only had two. That was accurate for me. So I was like, all right, I'm gonna hear what you have to say. She gave me some very accurate information. Then she gave me some very inaccurate information that I'm just quite literally refusing to accept because I'm just gonna rip the band-aid off now. She pretty much straight up told me to get back together with my most recent ex-boyfriend, which
Oh
is
no.
the furthest thing of what is gonna fucking happen here, okay? Like, let's get that line drawn in the sand right now. Not a fucking option. Not having it.
What did she say about like why you should do that?
Do I want to? Can I disclose that to you in not on a podcast?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, because believe it or not, despite the fact that I do deem myself to be a professional oversharer at this point in my life, there are some things that I do keep to myself, and I am going to choose to, for that to remain one
All
of
right,
them.
that's totally fine.
We'll talk off air on that one, but I did want to let you know that I got a psychic reading done in an Ulta parking lot.
I wonder though, because how many people, if she's just thrown random information out there, like you are clearly in your like mid-20s, she's like, I could guess that you've probably had two significant relationships. And then that could be anything, because even somebody that's had three relationships, maybe only two of them really stood out to them. Or
Well,
maybe someone's only had one real boyfriend, but
okay,
they've
so
had
the
a
first one.
situationship that like, so I'm like, was she just throwing random information out there and hoping it sticks?
Possibly, but the first one, she was like, the first one was the most significant to you and impacted you the most, which led you to the second one, which was very, very true. My dynamic in my second relationship was very heavily influenced on me trying to avoid being as hurt as I was by my first one, which is my own fucking fault. So, you know, whatever. But here's where it really went downhill. So, towards the end of this reading, she told me that I needed, like, I had heavy energy, that I needed a crystal healing. And then she tried to sell me three $45 crystals a piece. And I was like, I'm not doing this with
You're
you.
like, ma'am, I am in an Ulta parking lot.
I am not paying $130 for some fucking crystals right here. Like, I'm stupid, but I'm not that stupid. So, yeah.
That's really funny, though.
I did immediately turn around and unpack that experience with my Reiki healer, which is definitely rounding out this whole conversation on me as a person. So yeah, that's the story of my psychic reading in an Ulta parking lot.
That's hilarious. I love that for you.
The second thing we need to cover here, okay? You guys, if you see my TikTok reposts, no, you fucking didn't. Stop messaging me saying I saw you repost this on TikTok.
Yeah, coming from someone that has commented on something that I reposted and said, Chloe, I saw you
No,
repost
that was me being funny, and
this.
I, no, that was one of my best trolling moments. You guys, Chloe posted this, reposted this TikTok about how like short kings had wronged her and like how she was moving on, and I was like, oh hell no, oh no, she doesn't get away with this.
Said
But
moving
yeah,
on because I've gave that community a chance and they played me anyway. Hey, it's true.
and nah, honestly, I truly feel like you are a willing participant in the short king community every now and then, but you go in ready to play and you're walking out the main player. Like, you're just not.
Don't hate the player, hate the game.
Don't hate the player, hate the tall queen in the chess game.
Yeah, listen, I don't like to play games, but if we have to play games, I'm going to win.
More psycho updates for me. So this is the reposting on TikTok is bringing up a TikTok thing that I want to talk about, okay? And I have to set my ego and my pride aside for the next thing that I'm about to say because I have never thirsted after a man so hard before in my life, and I want it on public record that I'm proposing to this man on this podcast. Wholeheartedly, I have a new TikTok husband, and his name is Chase, and he is currently reviewing every single ACOTAR book chapter by chapter as he's live reading them. I have never been more turned on by a man in my entire life, and I have to clarify that this man is blonde, and you know me, I'm not into blondes like that.
Yeah, but he's a book guy.
Chase Keller from North Carolina. I'm gonna put Tony on like wing womaning me. I don't know if he knows this man, but I need him to find him. Chase Keller, at Chase Keller on TikTok. And also, if any of you try to come for my man, I'm gonna be upset. But I am so in love with him. This is my husband. I love him. I love him. I don't know anything
No
about him.
comment.
No. I don't know anything about this man. And I have, if you don't see my TikTok comments and you don't see my reposts, but if you go and look at this man's TikTok, you're gonna see me thirsting under every comment section.
That's hilarious. Oh my gosh. I do that too sometimes, and I'm like, I hope nobody sees this.
Nah, I love him.
Sometimes you just have to publicly shoot your shot, though, you know?
If I end up successfully securing the bag on this man and getting a fantasy reader husband, I'm putting this audio recording on my wedding cake.
Yeah. Yeah, this will actually be what you walk down the aisle to.
No, I will be walking down the aisle to an instrumental string quartet version of Menswear by the 1975. And if any of you take that fucking idea, I will know you have heard of this on this podcast because no one else I have seen it on the internet has done it. I will kill you all. That
Isn't
is
it
my
so
formal
funny
threat.
how we just like I have my wedding planned. I have baby names. I'm like, I have no prospects, but I know details.
You know, I was going to say I don't have my wedding planned in the slightest, but I really do. I know exactly what I'm going to execute in terms of ideas. Now, the color palettes and the flowers and tiny details change, yeah, but the general concept of the destination wedding and not only inviting 35 to 50 people max is definitely what I'm going with.
Hell yeah.
Do I have any? Oh, I guess I'll talk to you guys a little bit about the wedding that I went to this weekend. So, shocker, she's still on her ever never-ending quest to acquire 27 dresses.
Okay,
Oh
this
man.
dress though that you wore was so pretty.
Thank
If you
you.
guys don't
It
follow
was.
Taylor on Instagram, first of all, why? Second of all, that dress was beautiful. I loved it.
Yeah. It was very much giving Andy from How to Lose a Guy in 10 Dates, which was the vision. And I think every single woman at this wedding walked up to me and were like, I see the vision. I love the dress. Where did you get it? And I'll tell you guys about the bar after this. I hate men. I really do. After I just thirsted after a man on this podcast for 2 straight minutes, but I really do. So yeah, the wedding was super fun. It was my first wedding that I got to be a guest at, which I know people are probably listening to and been like, bitch, you have been to a lot of weddings. How are you just now a guest? I don't know. I'm tired too, okay? It was so fun to be a guest. I got to participate in a cocktail hour. I've never participated in a cocktail hour as a participant.
Yeah, you participated so well, didn't you?
I drank so much whiskey at this wedding because I was going to drink champagne, which is my normal go-to. She did not serve champagne at this wedding. My friend works in the bourbon industry, so her entire wedding was sponsored by the place she works. I drank a lot of whiskey, man.
Okay, that's not what I was getting at. I was getting at the watermelon drinks you were drinking all night. And if you guys don't know, Taylor is highly allergic to watermelon. Not highly
Okay.
allergic, but allergic to watermelon.
Okay, so since Chloe's gonna out me, I'm gonna put the disclosure on here now. Mom and Dad, I know you're listening to this podcast. I did not tell you about this so you guys would not freak out. I am getting allergy tested this summer when I see Dr. Lee. Don't panic and don't lecture me about this. Yeah, so I got tired of drinking whiskey. And at one point, I walked up to the bartender and I was like, hey, I need you to make me a cocktail with vodka. And I would prefer it to be fruity, but not too sweet. It was on me for not mentioning the fact that I am allergic to melon because truth be told, when you're at I used to work weddings at an event center. Watermelon juice, like fancy juices, are not typically something that they offer. It's like orange juice, pineapple juice.
Yeah, I
That's
wouldn't
pretty
expect
much
a watermelon drink if I was ordering a fruity drink.
the extent of it. Okay. So I didn't even think, and I also cranberry juice. There was definitely cranberry juice in it too. So she hands me this cocktail. It tastes fucking delicious. I taste no melon because there's a bunch of different things in it, and I'm mostly getting pineapple juice. You guys, I think I had seven of these watermelon martinis, and about maybe an hour and a half into drinking them, I had a full-blown allergic reaction to the point that I have never had an allergic reaction before. Normally, my mouth will just kind of like get itchy and no, my face swelled, my eyes swelled. I had like red splotches all over my skin from my face all the way down to my body. My friend Casey looked at me at one point and she's like, "Are you okay?" And I was like, "Oh, this is bad. Like, if I can feel it on my face and someone's pointing it out, this is bad." I went into the bathroom and I barely recognized myself. And I had to be given non-drowsy Benadryl. And for those of you who don't know, I'm also, I think, kind of sort of weirdly allergic to Benadryl, not in like a skin reaction way,
Oh
but
my
in
gosh.
a Benadryl makes me fucking weird kind of way. And like, it's like an, honestly, you
Well,
know
you were
when you say,
drinking too. That could have
no.
probably played a role in the mixture of alcohol and Benadryl. I don't think that's
No, I've taken
typical.
Benadryl for like just straight allergy attacks, hay fever, no alcohol combined. Benadryl just makes me weird. Like I feel like Benadryl makes people really tired. For me, it makes me feel like I have taken way too strong of an edible and I can't fall asleep and I want to crawl out of my skin. That's
Okay.
what that feels like for me. But I did end up having to take Benadryl to calm my skin down because it was the only thing that the venue had. And then, yeah, then I got dragged to an after party at Tin Roof, which is, if you guys were here for Chloe and I's Nashville era, kind of an iconic bar for ruining me and Chloe's lives. And at Tin Roof Detroit, not Tin Roof Nashville, which is where I was located, I did go in the, I was way too hot for this bar dress. Okay. I was a 12 out of 10. And that floor was really dirty, and I should not have gone into that bar with that dress. But I could not move or walk or do anything in this bar without another man approaching me trying to shoot his shot, which I know for some women is their dream and they would love that. I just wanted to hang out with my friends, and I could not stop being pulled away from them by some dude grabbing my waist, grabbing my arm, grabbing my ass, just
Let me
like.
just squeeze on past you while they grab your ass.
At one point, I was at the bar getting drinks with my friends in the middle of a full-blown conversation, and a man just like grabbed my shoulders and turned me around to start having a conversation with me. And I'm like, this is coming off as rude to me. I was talking to someone. You did not inter like you didn't tap me, you didn't say excuse me, like, and it was just rude. Okay, I hate it. I do not like being hit on in bars. I just don't.
Fair. Yeah, I don't
Yeah.
love it either.
Yeah, so that was my fun wedding weekend, which parlayed into a 2-day hangover. I'm definitely closer to 30 than I am to 20, and it shows.
I'm sad. Remember when we used to drink so much in college and then wake up the next day and be fine?
Do you
Where did those
remember
days go?
the alcohol bottle collection on the top of our cabinet our
All of
freshman
our
year? Oh
Smirnoffs.
my, the Smirnoff Sours, long live. I'm gonna, that is, I am, whenever you get married, that is your signature drink.
That
I'm
will
doing
not
something
be
with a
my
Smirnoff
signature
Sour.
drink.
Oh, but it will.
We can drink that at the Bachelorette. I'll allow that.
All right, well, that is pretty much all I have in terms of my chaotic updates. So let's get into our conversation with Tara. And Tara West is an award-winning fashion stylist, lifestyle blogger, podcast co-host. We love a fellow podcaster here on CEO-ish, and on-air style expert who serves clients all over the country from Boston to New York to LA. Tara is a pro in her field, having gotten her start in 2011 after leaving a successful practice as a psychotherapist. Like, you guys, this woman is so fucking cool. We were not lying to you guys when we said she has so much experience just across the board. And Tara set out to create exclusive shopping events tailored to her customers' needs. 12 years later, Tara is best known for her personalized wardrobe consults and dressing clients for red carpet and black tie events. She's fancy, okay? Fancy. Media and editorial shoots. Like, she just fucking does it all, man. And with her astute sense of style and knack for knowing how to dress for confidence, Tara creates effortlessly fashionable and wearable looks that are easy to emulate for the everyday woman. She has amassed an inevitable roster of designer relationships over her years of service and has been featured in some of the industry's top media outlets such as InStyle, People, Bustle, Today, Wall Street, Journal Boston Magazine, so on and so forth. Like, she's won so many fucking awards. So I'm gonna stop ranting to you guys about how amazing she is and just let Tara tell you herself.
But before we get into that, this is my public apology to Tara. When we ended the call, I meant to end the recording and I just completely hang up the call on everybody. So this is my public apology for abruptly hanging up on you, Tara. Anyway, we will let her take it away. And I'm so excited for you guys to hear this episode.
We are nothing but smooth.
All right. Welcome, Tara. Thank you so much for joining us today. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into the fashion world and how you switched from a psychotherapist to a now stylist? Because those are very different careers.
They are. Well, first of all, thank you for having me. Yes, so I'll start from the beginning. Well, not the very beginning because it's a kind of a long story, but I always wanted to be a stylist. I'm from LA and I really wasn't allowed to go to school for fashion because it was much like going to school to be an actor. Everybody's doing it. So I decided to go to school to be a marriage and family therapist because I had been in therapy. Our family is very open to therapy and I like could do that job. I knew that job. So I went to USC for grad school. I became a therapist, the best dressed therapist. People would tell me, you can't dress like that as a therapist, but I just couldn't stop. It's like innate, you know, I love fashion. So anyways, after my third child, I decided to start my business. And I had no idea if people were going to be open to it or not because it was very new. Now, that was about 11 years ago. And so it was all word of mouth. And I just launched two parties at two different stores and invited people. And that's kind of how I kicked it off. And then about 8 years ago, I started social media. I have a mentor that said, you need to be on social media. And I said, you're crazy because I'm behind the scenes. I dress people, but thankfully she pushed me into it. And so now there's two sides of my business. I'm a stylist, but I also have a social media presence, which actually helps with both things because people can get a privy into some fashion, but also helps me get business to style people.
So you've always been into style, into clothes, into fashion, and how you appear.
I would cut my jeans. You know, one time this is the best story. I wanted bleached jeans, and my grandmother said, if you bleach your jeans, they're gonna fall off. I didn't believe her because I wanted white. So I get to school. This was like sixth grade. And I'm sitting in class, and all of a sudden, my pants are like disintegrating. And I had to tie. So,
Oh
yeah,
my
so
gosh.
I bleached them. It's true. Like I bleached them to death, basically. So I've always had not the best sense of what I was doing, but it was always kind of what I wanted to do.
You experimented.
Yes.
I was gonna say, I follow a ton of people on TikTok who just kind of throw themselves into the fire of sewing. And I feel like that's kind of just how you figure it out, even though it's arguably a terrible hobby to just kind of like fuck around and find out with because everything's so precise with the measurements.
Yeah, I'm figuring
But
that out for myself right now.
I cannot sew though. But you know, the other thing I'm doing right now too, which is I'm doing a lot more television, which I really like doing segment on TV. And I did kind of throw myself into that because I have no idea what I'm doing. I love kind of doing those types of things, though, like throwing yourself into the fire because you either sink or swim. But I think if it's your passion and you love it, you will thrive.
If you had to
Absolutely.
describe yourself or your personal style in like 3 to 5 words, what are you picking?
I would say I'm elevated casual.
Elevated casual, okay.
Some people think I'm a little European in the way I dress, maybe a little Parisian because I do kind of like a lot of feminine pieces. But I would say, yeah, I would say elevated casual. Like I said, I'm from California. I don't know if I said that, but I am from California. And so there's always been like this like casual, but like elevated. So you could do everything you want during the day, but you still look good.
Because you got to go from the beach to the nightlife. I get it.
Exactly.
I'm just interested with your background in psychology. Is there any like kind of insight you can give us into? I know for me personally, when I'm like dressed up and looking good, I just mentally feel a lot better and I feel a lot more productive. And I'm wondering if you can give us kind of like an explanation of the actual psychology behind all of that.
Yeah, I love that you said that because a lot of times people will say, well, you went to school to be a therapist, but you don't do it. But there's so much psychology in what I do because, like you said, when you look good, you feel good. And when you walk into your closet and you see things that you're saying to yourself, oh, when I lose 5 pounds, when I lose 10 pounds, or when I, that's self-deprecating. So immediately you're self-deprecating yourself before you even got dressed. So what I like to do is clean all of that out of your closet and dress for now. You should be dressing for now, not when or, you know, then, but now. And when you look good, you start your day well, and then you're probably gonna have a pretty good day. It's definitely a mental thing. And during COVID was a big one. People would call me and say, should I get dressed for an interview over Zoom? Yes. Act like you're in the room with the person because otherwise you're not gonna think it is as important as it is, and neither will the person that's interviewing you.
Okay, I'm feeling personally victimized by that statement because I definitely had sweatpants on the bottom and was like dressed from like the waist up, you know, like the standard YouTuber look.
Yeah,
Yeah.
there's nothing wrong with it. I just think it's a mental thing. It's like, if it's that important to you, dress like it's that important to you, because you'll feel that way.
I always loved the, I think there's a quote, something along the lines of, you can never be overdressed or overeducated. I firmly believe you cannot be overdressed for anything.
I agree. It's better to be overdressed than underdressed. You never want to walk in a room and feel like you're the one that should have been dressed more.
Definitely.
I literally went to a bar this past weekend, like a dive bar, and I was wearing a floor length gown. Granted, I was part of a wedding, but you know, you can't be overdressed.
You got to go there to impress.
She definitely impressed that bar, I'm sure.
We don't need to talk about that.
So I have another question too. So I've realized with my personal style, and then a lot of friends as well, before I really figured out my style, I realized I was dressing in like black, gray, and maybe navy blue if I was really feeling excited. No patterns. Like, I really didn't have a sense of style. And so I would dress in very muted colors and just like hide myself colors, don't draw attention to me kind of stuff. And so I'm curious.
Super comfortable. I'm building upon what Chloe says too. Super comfortable, generally leaned towards cardigans, sweatpants, things like that.
Hide my body.
I also want to, I'm glad you brought up like the colors too, with like the gray, black, because I see so much on TikTok of people talking about like the color analysis, color theory, finding your color palette. So I would love to dive into all of that.
So Chloe said something really interesting. She's like, I want to hide.
Yeah.
It's not going to be a therapy session, but when a lot of people want to hide, they end up wearing bigger clothes than they should be wearing, which actually in turn makes you look bigger. And so this is something that I like to work on with my clients. You will always want to kind of accentuate your waist, which doesn't mean it needs to be tight, but tailored in the waist. So you have some kind of curve going on. When you try to hide, you're just like one big, you know, I don't know, tent. And like, that's not good. So for colors, I think, you know, I don't know the color. Like, I can't tell you whatever.
Winter, spring, autumn, summer.
But I think that once you start getting dressed and you play around, you'll know what looks good on you and what feels good. And, you know, color makes you happy. And so it's really important, I think, to add a pop of color, whether it's in a shoe or in a bag. It could be very simple, a scarf. I mean, these are ways that you can just add a pop of something.
Building upon that, if someone were to try to identify their personal style and they were kind of in that place that Chloe was like a year ago or a couple years ago, where she was talking about, like, they're like, I hate my wardrobe. I hate my clothes. Nothing excites me. I feel like I'm hiding. Where do you start? Because I feel like you can look on Pinterest, but going on Pinterest and then going to the store or having to actually execute your vision can be a much different task.
Yeah, I think it's important to work with somebody like me for this reason. I do not care if you buy something in a store. I don't work for a store. I am my own person. I like to educate. So if you walk out with something after we work together, that's amazing. But I want to educate you on exactly what you're saying. What works for me? What fits? What makes me look good? If I'm short, what pants don't like make me look shorter? If I'm tall, how do I find things that fit me? I think that ordering online is not a great way to do that, because you never know what you're going to get. So going to a store is really important, I think. And also, they have stylists at stores too that you can actually get help with. And I think that sometimes you just need the guidance, and then you can go off and running on your own. You spend whatever you want on whatever, but you know exactly what fits you and looks good.
I feel like this could parlay into an entire different conversation now too, because when I think about like my local mall, and granted, I live in Michigan, you live in California, you probably have a much different world of access in terms of that. But when I go to my local mall, relatively, and I think this is a problem in today's world of fast fashion, everything feels so cheap, and it's not an investment I want to make. Like, I'm willing to spend the money on those nice tailored pieces that fit me well, that'll last a lifetime. But going into the store and seeing like the poor quality of clothing, everything's just kind of chaotically thrown around. You're like, I don't know what looks good. That I think that is the part that just feels so overwhelming.
Yeah, I think at some point in our lives, no matter what age, you say to yourself, you know what, I'm sick of this cheap stuff. Like, I want to invest in pieces. So I would suggest invest in a couple pieces. Like, maybe it's a great blazer that you can't believe you're spending the money on. But if you ever look at how much you spent on just junk, it's probably less than what you spend on all the things that you don't even wear anymore. And so start shopping smart. Investment pieces are key. They will last forever. Then you just do cheaper stuff for fillers, like maybe tank tops or a t-shirt, but you invest in a great pair of pants, a great blazer, a great shoe. These are things that will last you too. When you spend a little bit more, the quality is better, and then you feel better, you look better. You don't look like you're wearing cheap clothing.
Now, do you have any go-to stores that you would care to share for people to look into this stuff? Like, what are some of your favorites?
Well, I actually live in Boston now, and so the shopping
Ooh.
here is a little limited, but the shopping depends on where my clients take me and their taste and their budget. But I do a lot of shopping at Saks Fifth Avenue.
Love
Bloomingdale's,
Saks.
I think, has a really great array of, you can really do a one-stop shop there. For a lot of my men, I do Todd Snyder because they can do everything that at once too. They can get head to toe. But I love to go to New York and LA because I love Elise Walker in LA. I love Bergdorf. So there's just a bigger variety. But I think that I love to support local. So I really try to pull from some of the local boutiques in Boston. I feel like if we can support each other, we're like an ecosystem. And I think that it's really great to help those businesses as well.
That's
I love
awesome.
to
And then
hear
your
that.
clients are going to get much more unique pieces too that aren't in those big chain stores.
Yeah, I think it's nice to have unique pieces. I'm definitely that type of person. I don't want to be wearing what everybody's wearing. Of course, there's some things that, we all have like a uniform that we kind of gravitate to. I went on a trip recently and every single person, we had a denim jacket, a scarf, and like cargo pants. I was like, that's the uniform. But for the most part, like especially with jewelry and stuff, I like to be a little bit more unique and not follow what everybody else is doing. And I think my clients like that as well.
Ooh, this could be interesting. So, do you have outfit formulas you follow? Because I feel like you said uniform, where everyone has that go-to. I don't know what I'm wearing, so this is just what I'm putting on. I have a dedicated airport outfit, for example. I know what I'm wearing every single time I'm going to the
What
airport.
is it? We want to know what it is.
I'm wearing a matching skim sweat set. I don't care if people say that you should look nicer when you fly. I'm usually flying for a minimum of 5 to 6 hours at a time, so I'm going to be comfortable. But at
Yeah.
least it's cute. It matches. It's a really nice material. I love
Cute. I think I need to get one.
Yeah, highly recommend. But do you have like an outfit formula you follow to kind of put things together? Are you doing like an outfit sandwich? Are you styling around one piece? What's the formula?
I think it just depends. A lot of times when I'm in a client's closet and I have found I gravitate probably towards like one or two pieces, and then we just kind of style around that, or it ends up in every outfit. For myself, I really dress kind of how my mood is and like what I want to, I guess what I feel like wearing for the day, also my schedule. So I don't really have a uniform, but I would say traveling, there's definitely a travel outfit I feel like everybody has, or they want kind of like what you're saying, where you're just comfortable. You just want to be comfortable, especially
A
for a long.
go-to club outfit. Everybody's got something.
Everybody's got a go-to club outfit. I haven't gone to a club in a while, but I would definitely have one. But I think, I don't think that you need to have a lot in your closet. And people always say to me, you must have so many clothes. And I don't have, I mean, I have a good amount, but I don't have a crazy amount because I shop smart, and that's what I want to do with my clients.
And everything can be mixed and matched and paired and layered with different outfits. And it's not like, because that was something I did a lot in, like, I want to say middle school, early high school. I would go to a store, I would find one article of clothing I'd like, and I would just buy that one article of clothing and not think about how I could style it with other pieces, how it would fit into my closet. If I even really, if this fit my personal style, because I also went through a phase where I tried to dress like way too emo grunge for what I really do. And it's like you, and I look back at old photos and I'm like, I look uncomfortable. I can tell I don't feel like myself. So I love to hear that.
Well, I think too, like when we're talking about investment pieces, then there you go. You're putting your money into things that are quality and that are going to last you. And then you just fill in the blanks with something that's a little more less expensive.
So I want to come back to something that we started talking about, and then we did the most ADD detour ever that I usually do on most of our interviews. But I want to come back to your psych background. At what point in your psych career were you like, fuck it, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm doing the clothing thing. This is what I was always meant to do. I'm going forward.
So I was a younger therapist. So I worked with a lot of teenagers, some who were having major mental health issues. So it was a lot. They say not to take it home, but how do you not take it home when you care so much about people
For
and they're
sure.
in a place of, of a difficult time and their families. So I was already kind of feeling that way. And then I got pregnant with my daughter and I was very sick. And I remember being with a woman, a client, and I said, excuse me, this is a client that's crying because of a relationship. And I had to go throw up in the bathroom because I was so sick.
You can't control morning sickness.
But you can't have your therapist throwing up mid-tears either. So at that point, I was like, you know what, this, I'm calling it because I'm done. I think the most important thing to know with any job is to know when you're done. When you are done, it's okay to be done. Like, it doesn't matter if that's what you went to school for. Sometimes you're just done. And I was already done, and that just solidified it.
Chloe and I are big proponents of quitting. As a matter of fact, we have an entire episode dedicated to not being afraid of quitting. So I will put that in the show notes for you guys. But I think that is, I'm so happy you mentioned that, because I think knowing what you don't want out of a job is as important as knowing what you do want out of a job.
I agree. And I also think that with relationships too, you know, sometimes
absolutely.
It's very hard to walk away from relationships, and especially the ones that we've known forever, right? Since like childhood. But even as adults, because you feel this responsibility to always, you know, be in this friendship or this whatever, but it's actually really important to walk away sometimes.
I think that it's good for your growth. And also with being a therapist, like, it is your job to hold that space and be mentally present there with your client. Like, it would be just as much of a disservice to your client as it would be to you to stick that out. And so I think that it's just so important that you were able to walk away.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't miss it at all. Not that I loved it, but
I'm sure it was mentally taxing.
It was. And now it's like, now I just call it retail therapy. You know, it's like, you call me because you can't get the Jimmy Choo. It's okay. Like, I can totally handle that.
That's much like easier to cope.
Yeah, it's okay. We'll get it. We'll get it another color. It'll work out.
You know, I feel like this could actually be a super interesting topic. So do you get, because I know this with my ADD and like habits that come with it, the impulsive spending. In terms of your therapist background, do you get people that will have like something bad happen to them or a tragedy, and they go immediately, they're like, I need to spend money now, I need to shop?
You know, sometimes it's the new people who are like really like if they've lost a lot of weight or they had some kind of like surgery, maybe they got a breast reduction or something where it's like a very new thing where they can fit new stuff. I kind of have to pull back the reins a little bit because I don't want them to have buyer's remorse, because we all know buyer's remorse sucks so bad. And I also don't want them to attach buyer's remorse with me. So I think sometimes I have to pull back, and I say to them, you know, maybe you should think about that because you don't need it all at once, and nobody needs everything at once. It's good to sit with things a little bit.
Now, where do you stand on the, so if someone were to drop a ton of weight or maybe put weight on, where do you fall in the hold on to your clothes, get rid of them? Because I feel like that is a big debate that people go back and forth a lot. And like at the end of the day, at least for me personally, keeping old clothes that I'm not wearing is just clutter in my closet, and it makes me feel overwhelmed.
Yeah. And it's also not mentally good for you, because especially if there's the lose weight thing, because that, like I said before, it's self-deprecating, right? So you walk in your closet, you see these jeans, you love them, but I got to lose the 10 pounds. I say, get rid of it. And I don't mean literally, if you are so attached that you don't want to get rid of it, just move it out of your closet and put it somewhere else. Do not have it on a daily where you're walking by it. I think that it's just, you don't need that in your life. And I like to shop and for now. So whatever size you are now, whatever you're feeling now, then don't spend a ton of money on the things right now. You know, you don't need to break the bank. Just buy some things for now so you could feel good now.
So I want to go back to buyer's remorse a little bit, especially in terms of fast fashion, because I know that I definitely have fallen victim to everybody's wearing this. I see it all over the internet. I think that I need it. I buy it. And then a month later, I'm like, this isn't me. This isn't my style. I know I've seen 1,000 TikToks that are like, tankinis are in for this summer. Everyone go buy a tankini.
No, I will not be wearing a tankini.
Like now I feel like I've gotten to a place where I can avoid that, but it took me a really long time to get to that place. So I wonder if you have any advice for your clients moving forward after you go shopping with them, to be like, just because you see it online and just because everybody's wearing it doesn't mean you need it. And you definitely don't need it 3 months from now.
Here's something to remember. Not every trend is for you. So there are things that I really like. A lot of times when I go to clients' house, they'll show me a TikTok person or an Instagram influencer, and they want to look like that. Except they're 5'2", my client's 5'2", and that person's 6'4", and weighs like 100 pounds. So it's going to look different. It might not even look good. So I think that the trends are, first of all, if you're going to go with a trend, don't spend a lot of money, because if it's really trendy, you're going to wear it a couple times and it's over. The trends go so fast. But I don't, I think you need to know if it looks good on you. And sometimes you got to pass on a trend because it just doesn't fit you. It doesn't look good. It's not going to work.
Do you have any tips for your clients in terms of finding what fits their body type and just like their kind of shape, especially? I know that that's something that a lot of people are insecure, don't want to talk about. And I feel like that's probably a very big piece of your job is helping them figure out exactly what their body looks like and what will complement their body and what will not complement their body.
Yeah. Or even like, do you have issues getting people into dressing rooms to even want to try the clothes on?
No, because usually when people come to me, they're ready. So okay. They're ready to make some kind of change. You know, I am a luxury, not, you know, so you're spending money on something that you want to do. It's not like I'm a necessity. I'm not a necessity. I'm just, you know, a luxury thing that helps you with your life. So in turn, I am a necessity, but when you reach out to me, you're doing it because you want to. So that's a good thing. Now, I think it going back to like kind of accentuating your waist and like things like this, where we think we should be hiding, so we should be buying bigger clothes, like those type of things that we have in our head. I need to kind of re-establish and kind of re-educate you on what really looks good. So that comes back to going with me to a store and kind of educating you and showing you brands. That's the other thing. A lot of people don't know that there's many brands out there. So I love
to. I actually have brand fatigue and I'm overwhelmed by how many brands there are in my Instagram feed.
Well, yeah, I mean, are we talking? There are a lot of brands. This is
no,
true.
But I see the value in a service like you because I'm so overwhelmed by the amount of stuff that I would like somebody to just point me out. Like, these are the words that describe my style. This is what is idealistic for me to dress like. Can you show me brands in this regard and just narrow it down?
Totally. And also I do a lot of virtual styling too. And that's kind of what we do.
Ooh, fun.
Yeah. So it's because, you know, maybe they live in Connecticut or New York or LA and I can't get there when they need me. And so that's a lot of what we do. And I just send them, it's like, you're not doing the curating through the internet. I am. And I think that that makes a big difference for my clients. Cause like you said, you get inundated and overwhelmed and you don't really know how it's going to fit.
So I'm curious about your experience working with male clients, because I know in my personal experience, anytime that I'm talking to a guy friend or even like my brothers, I just had a conversation with my brother the other day. I was trying to get him to buy this. It was just like a polo shirt, but it had a pattern on it. And he was like, I can't wear that. That's way too dressy. I was like, how is that any more dressy than a plain polo with no pattern on it?
A golf shirt. It looks like
I feel like men, like a lot of men that I've talked to, and it might just be like my generation, that they feel scared to be overdressed. They want to be very casual, and I don't know, it seems like
they don't want to
time
stand out.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's an age thing, because I think you get to a certain age, kind of like what we were talking about, where you get to a certain place and you're like, you know what, I need investment pieces now. No, no more of this junk. Where men get to a place where they're like, you know what, I want to step it up. Maybe it's not my entire wardrobe, but maybe there's pieces now that I want to bring in, and like a great jacket or like a nicer pant or like a cool shoe.
A navy suit. Every man needs a good navy suit, and I will die on that hill.
So I think it's a maturity thing. And I think it's just where you are in your life. Like when you are ready for that, you're ready. We all get to that point. You know what I mean? It's just, when do you get there?
Mm-hmm. I also feel like that could be just an interesting conversation in terms of like gender roles and dynamics and how we're grown up, because there's a huge emphasis placed on women from the moment they are born to care about their appearance, to care about self-care, to put that time into yourself. I feel like men, for the most part, and there are always exceptions to the rule, they're prioritizing building their careers, buying houses, being providers, that once they check all of those boxes, then they're like, oh, I guess I can kind of start to care about myself. I checked the box.
I have to say that's true until COVID, because my male clientele has increased like 80% since COVID. And I'll tell you why. Because people weren't going into the office. They were wearing stretchy pants. A lot of people gained weight. Men have not shopped, some women too, but the men I see, for like 2 to 3 years. And now they have to go back to the office, not every day, but they are totally stumped because office attire has changed. And so women too feel this way, but you know, they don't know what the hell they're wearing. Maybe they were in an office where they used to wear a suit. So that's a no-brainer. But now when you do like elevated casual or whatever it may be, they have no idea. And so I find men now really are caring more about the way they look. And they're very stumped because they have not shopped for a long time. And so COVID set it back. But now that they're caring more because they're kind of coming out of their cave, if you will. Caveman. Just kidding.
Now, in all of your years of styling experience and working across people with different styles, different body types, are there repeat articles of clothing or accessories that you find that are just staples in every person's wardrobe despite how they choose to dress?
Yes, I think a blazer, like even though blazer styles might change, I feel like a blazer is a definite staple. You can always dress it up or down. Always jeans, although we know that jean trends change. And I think
Are skinny jeans coming back? I keep feeling like I'm hearing skinny jeans are coming back and I'm panicking.
I know your generation hates skinny jeans. And I have to say, I don't wear
No,
them
I
anymore.
don't hate, I do not hate skinny jeans. I had an entire lifetime built up collection of skinny jeans, okay? And now everyone switched to straight leg like 2 or 3 years ago. And I just now have like two pairs of straight leg jeans, okay? And now the trends are coming back and I'm like, I can't keep up. I
I
just
mean,
caved.
I think honestly, it's all in the way you style it. If you had a skinny jean on and we styled the shit out of that skinny jean and you walked out like a rock star, nobody would care. Do you know what I mean?
I'm wearing a knee-high boot. A skinny jean has to happen.
You can't wear a
Yeah.
straight leg jean with knee-high boots. Listen,
No, skinny jeans make so much sense for so many things.
I spent too much time in Catholic school having to wait outside in the kindergarten line or where they line up all the grades to be let into the school when it was like negative 20 degrees outside and there was a foot of snow on the ground and my bootleg jeans were soaked and I had water up to my ankles this high because of bootleg jeans. So I can't do this.
I mean, honestly, you really can't care what other people think. I think it's all about how you want to look and what works for you. And people will judge no matter what, but we don't care because we just be you and like wear your be you and do your style.
And when you wear clothes that you are genuinely excited to wear, it comes off confident as is. No one's going to say anything if you come off confident.
100%. So I'm
And if they
curious
are saying
too.
something, they're probably insecure.
Totally.
I'm curious too, in terms of the seasons. Of course, like you're going to dress more warm in the winter and cooler in the summer, but do you see yourself like totally changing your wardrobe in terms of like colors or textures or patterns, or is it kind of like one color palette throughout the entire year?
No, I definitely change it up. I love warmer weather. First of all, I was born into it, but I love it because
Yeah.
it's easy peasy dressing. Like I love to throw on a summer dress and a pair of sandals and call it a day. You know, I think that I love lighter colors. I'm not afraid of color. I like colored patterns, but they're not crazy. You know, it's very subtle. But I feel like I go with whatever season it is. So, you know, for spring, sure, I'll wear floral. You know, maybe in the summer I do wear a lot of white. And then come fall, yes, there's more browns and maybe greens, jewel tones are a little bit heavier. And so I definitely tend to go there with whatever season it is.
Okay, I have to ask just a fun question. What is your most favorite article of clothing in your closet? Did you thrift it? Did you save up for years for it? Did you have your eye on it forever? Like, what is it?
Yeah, that is like a really good question. I don't know if there's one particular. I mean, for the most part, I love my clothes. I have a good
That's good.
relationship.
Everyone should feel that
I know,
way.
but I also you. I'm in a store every day. I know everything that's out there, and so I know when I buy something, it's important, and I'll wear it a lot. And so I would say, with anything I buy for the most part, I think about it a lot. I don't just impulse buy. Like I will think about, okay, for the price of it, how many times am I going to wear it? What else can I style it with it? How long will I be able to wear it? How many months? These are things that I think in my head when purchasing something because it is that important to me. And also, when you spend money on things, you want to get your wear out of it. And so I would say most of my articles of clothing are important because of that fact. Now, one thing stands out is about 4 years ago, I bought an Alexander McQueen coat at Bergdorf's in New York, and I almost died because I couldn't believe what I spent on it. I was
I
like,
almost died for you.
yeah. And I couldn't wear that jacket more. I take it everywhere. I wear it all the time. It's timeless, which I knew when I did it, but I was dying. Like, I don't
Okay.
even think,
I love to hear that though, because I know people who will save up for years, buy the piece that they want, and then never wear it because they're like, I'm afraid something's going to happen to it. I'm like, you did not buy that just to let it hang on the hanger.
I mean, what I always tell my clients is wear your clothes. Stop. I mean, sure, there's some things like, you know, if there's a gala dress, you're not wearing that around, but wear your clothes.
Try me. I wore one to the bar the other
But
day.
I know that's what made me think of it. But I wear my clothes and that jacket I wear with jeans. I mean, anything I wear it to death. And so that's where you want to put your money into things like that that are very special, but you have to wear them. They can't sit in your closet. What'd you spend the money for?
I love
Thank
that you
you.
say that, especially it makes me think, you know, everyone in our age group is getting married right now, and there's almost this like unspoken pressure of don't wear the same dress to more than one wedding. And I always have to find myself and correct myself when I'm thinking that because I'm like, why would I spend
Style
$100
is
on a
different.
dress to wear to someone else's wedding? They're not paying attention to what I'm wearing. Like, they're
And
not going to know if I've worn this to three other weddings.
do it with a different hairstyle. Wear a
Yeah.
different purse with it, a different
Or
pair of
don't, they
shoes.
don't know.
Different
You're
shoe or
also.
not. I mean, here's the thing. I remember that time of life, and all you're doing is spending money, like, because you're going to everything, right? And so the last thing you need to do is have a plethora of dresses. You should definitely wear
I'm on
the.
my sixth wedding that I'm in. Do you know
Oh.
how many? I'm on my way to 27 dresses, unironically.
That is insane. But you guys, that's it ends up costing a lot of money to be part of weddings. It really does.
I unironically have added up the amount of money I have spent on friends' weddings since I've graduated college, and my total is around $12,000 right now.
Oh, that's
That's
insane.
crazy.
Between gifts, between excessive bachelorette parties that are out of state and week-longs, multiple showers, me being the maid of honor in a few of them, so I put the majority of the expenses on my card, just putting people's money down. Yeah, weddings are insane.
Insane. When I got married, which was a long time ago, I had everybody wear their own black dress. It just had to be long. I don't care. Like, it was a black tie wedding, but I was like, wear what you want because I want you to be able to wear it again. And also, I want you to feel good and spend whatever you want. Like, it's too much to ask for people to. I mean, I get it. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, but in your age group, it's like you're going to a lot of weddings. It's a lot.
I'm going to be a co-maid of honor in my sister's wedding this coming September, and I'm just so thankful for
She
how
made
she's done it.
you co-maid of
Yeah, I'm just so thankful for how she's done it because the criteria for our dresses was green, and we just have to get it approved by her. And she's like super chill about it, like super relaxed about it. I'm going to wear a dress that I already have. Like, I'm just very happy that I don't have to buy another dress because that's my thing about bridesmaids' dresses is it's always something that you're never,
Ever
I
gonna
guess.
wear again?
Yeah, you're never going to wear again. And it's almost too bridesmaidy to wear to another wedding that you're not a bridesmaid in. And so it's like, why am I spending this amount of money to buy a dress that I'm never going to wear?
One thing I will give, so our generation, the younger ones have gotten very excessive in the wedding department. But one thing I will say is I think our generations have gotten a lot better in the bridesmaids department because A, everybody used to buy the most horrendous colors and everyone would have to wear that one color. Two, everyone would pick one dress style and every single body type had to wear that dress style. It did not matter how the person felt in that. I feel like our generations are a lot more chill on like the, hey, this is the color I want. I don't necessarily care if you want to do a short dress, a long dress, a sweetheart neckline, a high neck, whatever. You can do that. Just make sure it fits within the color palette. And that I very much appreciate.
I agree with you. I think it's come a long way for sure.
All right. Well, Tara, we are officially out of questions for you, but I feel like it would be a really cool note to end off on. And if you could give our listeners just your number one confidence tip if it comes when it comes to styling.
If you look good, you feel good. So remember, when you are walking out of the house, wear something that makes you feel good. It's not too tight. I know I'm going over the words amount I was supposed to say, but just be mindful. It's your day. It's your life. Just live it to the best and look your best that you want to look.
I love that. Well, thank you so much for taking your time and joining us today and giving us all of these tips. I feel like I'm so inspired now going into spring.
Can you let our listeners know where they can find you on social media as well as where to work with you if they are interested in any styling sessions?
Yes, my Instagram is at Tara West Fashion. I also have a podcast, which we didn't discuss, but it's very short. It's called Shorts with Tara and Jill. It is business and fashion. It's only 15 minutes.
Oh my God, I
And
love that. We love a bite-sized episode.
it's a bite-sized episode. And my website's tarawestfashion.com, in which you can reach out to me and, you know, find all my services and also get in touch with me to work together.
I will have all of that linked in the show notes for you guys, as per usual. Tara, thank you so much for your time, your wisdom, your truth. We are so appreciative of you.
Thank you for having me. You ladies are lovely. And I want you to send me the next time you're a bridesmaid. I want to see you in the dress.
Will
Oh.
do.
Yeah, I'll send you some. Don't worry. I'll send you the closet.
All right, bitches, hoes, and CEOs, thank you all so much for listening to today's episode. You can catch a new episode of CEO-ish every Wednesday. And as always, all relevant episode info, guest information, and links to submit stories and our Ask the CEO's advice column are linked in the episode show notes.
Please, please don't forget to subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast so you never miss an episode from us. And we always want to hear from you, so please leave a review if you have a second and follow CEO-ish on all social media for all the behind-the-scenes action and more information about the show at CEO-ish Podcast on IG and TikTok.
We'll talk to you guys next week.